Under the budget plans the Pentagon rolled out early this year, the Air National Guard would have borne a heavy brunt of the overall manpower reductions the Air Force planned to make over the next 5 years, accounting for about half of that service's total downsizing. During the two-day Senate Armed Services markup session, that proposal got a considerable amount of attention, according to Senator Carl Levin, the committee's chairman.
There was a broad feeling in the committee that the Air Force did not have a basis that was solid for where they were making these reductions. Many of us sought information from the Air Force as the basis in particular states that we represent. I did not get the information back in a way that was at least a bit convincing. And so we decided that we just better put a freeze on this for the year and then have them come back, if they want to come back, with a much better case, and one which is also not just has a foundation in fact, but which also has some proportionality to it. The Air Force reductions were totally out of proportion between the Guard and Reserve Forces as compared to the active duty forces.
The Air Force budget plan called for an overall decrease of 9,900 airmen over the next 5 years, including 3,900 active duty personnel and 900 members of the Air Force Reserve. The Air National Guard, meanwhile, would have drawn down by 5,100. The Senate action is similar to the defense authorization bill the full House approved earlier this month. They voted to keep Air National Guard funding in 2013 at 2012 levels. And Levin says Congress wants some outside advice on what the balance of active, guard, and reserve forces in the Air Force should be.
I want to try to prevent this kind of decision from being made in the future with as little care as this one was made, frankly. And so what we did is to created a national commission for on the structure of the Air Force that can make recommendations to the Congress on Air Force structure, and they'll give us their recommendations by March 31st of 2013. This is just advisory recommendations. They're not subject to up or down votes.
Levin says the outside panel will also include input from the nation's governors, who had lobbied hard against the Air Guard cuts. The Senate vote comes a day after the chief of the Air Force Reserve, Lieutenant General Bud Wyatt, told the Senate Appropriations Committee that he, too, had been asking to see justifications inside the Pentagon for the tilt in reductions toward the Air Guard. This is an exchange with Senator Pat Leahy, who chairs the Senate National Guard Caucus.
That makes me wonder, have you seen any analysis that persuades you that relying more on the active component is going to save money or provide the Air Force with more capability?
No, sir, I'm not seeing that analysis.
Have you asked to see that sort of analysis?
Yes, sir, I have.
Well, that kind of bothers me. I think you should have been allowed to see analysis during budget preparation before the Air Force presented the budget proposal that substantially cuts your force based on the claims that they have, and they haven't shown you.
I agree, sir, and you know, it's as important as the answer and the conclusion are the initial going-in assumptions and the methodology used in reaching that answer. And that's the thing that concerns me, not only is not seeing all the analysis, but how we got to some of that analysis.
I agree with you. I don't think that these cuts in the Air Guard and reserves is going to save us money. I think in the long run, it's going to cost us a lot more.
Guard advocates argue that service members who serve in the reserve components of the military cost the government far less than the active duty forces. When the Air Force announced the cuts in its budget rollout, leaders said their rationale for focusing on the Guard was that the active duty Air Force had already been significantly drawn down over the past several years, and that the Guard now needed to shrink to balance those cuts. But even if Guard supporters in Congress succeed in blocking the cuts, Wyatt also testified that DOD's proposal has already had an impact on his service.
Where I'm starting to see some stress on my folks is at our retention numbers. You know, we have great volunteerism, and our people stick with us a long time, but our retention numbers are beginning to drop, and I attribute that to the Air Force's 13 PB. It has had a more detrimental effect on our retention numbers than 20 years of high operational combat. And so I think that uncertainty is beginning to take a toll on our people wondering about their futures and, you know, do we have time to invest In a unit that may not be here next year or may be changing to a mission that we don't know what that might be.
While the Senate conducts its defense markups in secret, and the full details of the bill they unanimously passed aren't yet available, Levin and the committee's ranking Republican, Senator John McCain, did detail some of the provisions in a brief news conference. For one, reimbursements for contractor salaries would be capped at $237,000. Also, McCain says the legislation would order a 5% reduction in spending on both civilian DOD employees and service contractors over the next 5 years.
As we are scheduled to reduce the United States Army by some 100,000 men and women, we are reducing the size of the Marine Corps by some 80,000. There is no provision for any reduction in the civilian workforce, which has been grown some 16% since 2007.
McCain says that Senate proposal would save about $5 billion. Also, like the House, the Senate version of the defense bill would reject DOD's proposal to rein in health care costs by imposing health care premium increases on military retirees in the TRICARE system. Unlike the House, though, the Senate kept its authorized top-line spending in line with what the White House proposed for next year, setting up a potential showdown with lawmakers from the other chamber. The House version would spend about $4 billion more. Overall, Levin says the Senate would spend $631 billion on defense next year.
We made about 150 changes in the president's budget request, roughly. There's no way to say that any particular increase came from any particular decrease. You'd have to look at all of the increases, all of the decreases, and then say that all together they're in balance. But there was not a motion that said we're going to take money from one place and put it into another place.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.